Hi, this is Edith with Family Talk's broadcast team wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Christmas edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, along with your host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. And Dr. Dobson, throughout this month, we're airing the best programs of 2014. And today's program, part three of a program we've been recording with a very special guest, is very moving to me, and I know it is to you as well.
It is, Dr. Meeker, and as we've explained the last 2 days, we may even say it a time or two in the rest of this month of December, but we pay very close attention to the statistics, the response that comes back from the various programs we do. We do 260 programs a year. That's one every day, 5 days a week. And we know how people feel about all of them. That's the wonderful thing about the internet and about the kind of data that are available to people today. And we are able to tell the programs that made the greatest impact by how many call us, how many write to us, how many ask for CDs, how many are touched enough to reach out to us or ask for help. And that's why we have aired this 3-day program. This is the third day with Kara and Jason Tippetts. Actually, Kara was the only guest. And they are a young couple that moved to Colorado Springs just a few years ago to plant a church. Their hearts are devoted to the cause of Christ, and they came for that purpose. But soon after arriving in Colorado Springs, Kara had a terrible accident, landing on her face in the bathroom and being found by her husband unconscious in a pool of blood. Praise God, she ended up being okay. But soon after that, the Waldo Canyon fire burned through a large section of Colorado Springs and nearly destroyed their home. And then the most difficult news of all came. Kara found out that she had stage 4 breast cancer, and the doctors basically have told her to take advantage of every moment that she has with her family. Kara and Jason have 4 children, but they aren't letting the diagnosis get in the way of celebrating every moment that they have together as a family, and especially what might be their last Christmas together. They both see every day as a blessing from the Lord, and she has a perspective on life that I know will impact all who are listening today. And what touched me the most is that instead of pulling into a corner in depression and despair and giving up on life, Kara decided to use it for God's purpose and to share her difficulties, her cancer, with others who are going through hard times. And she has written a book on it. I know you will explain that, Dr. Meeker, and people will be able to hear it in her voice as she tells her story. This was the third interview that we did in a row earlier this year.
Yes. Well, let's get to our wonderful conversation with Kara Tippetts, because it certainly was one of my favorite interviews. And as we've talked about before, she really radiates the joy in the presence of Christ. So here is our interview now. Dr. James Dobson, Kara Tippetts, and myself talk through the conclusion of the hardest piece on today's Christmas edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
While we have been talking, your sister has been sitting here very, very quietly. Her name is Jonna McMahon.
Yes.
And I just motioned to her to come over and sit at a microphone, because I have a feeling that you have something to say about what we have just talked about and what we've heard. You're the big sister.
I am.
For Kara.
I am.
She was the youngest in the family.
Yes.
And you were, where'd you fall in?
I'm in the middle. Mm. So we have an older brother.
So you've watched this entire episode. You've seen everything that Kara has been through.
Yes.
And she has leaned on you, I think you said. And
yes.
That you talk together nearly every day.
Yes.
Jonna, tell us what we have not yet heard. Tell us what you have observed. Some people are listening right now and saying, Kara couldn't be for real. You know, the way she's handling this is so unusual and so strong.
It is.
Tell me what else we need to know about her and this illness.
Well, she says things about cancer that it's hard, but so much beauty has come from cancer. Kara and I live across the country, and I have flown in probably about a dozen times, and it's always last minute. I drop whatever I'm doing when she calls me. I'm here right now so that her husband can get away for a little bit. And It is very hard, but there has been beautiful moments sprinkled through it. And to know Kara is to love Kara. She's very inquisitive. She asks very hard questions. But to walk beside her through this has been incredibly hard, but incredibly beautiful. Kara tells me a lot of things that, you know, her fears and her wishes and things like that. And sometimes it's hard for me to hear, but I wouldn't change my position for anything. Mm-hmm. And to witness her and Jason and their love for each other is absolutely mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. I remember coming to church, and Jason was doing a sermon on Lamentations, and he was talking.
Jason is her husband.
Jason is my brother-in-law, her husband. Yeah. And he was talking about, he knows he loves Kara. He knows it. But now that cancer is here, he really loves his wife. And I sat in that first pew and watched this man talk about the love for his wife with tears running down his face, and he never stopped for one moment.
I read that that was the most powerful sermon he ever preached.
Yes, the one that Kara touches on in the book I was not part of, but Jason is the most gentle, non-judging man you could ever imagine. And the two of them together is just, it's beautiful to witness. And the love for each other that they just have looking at each other, it takes your breath away. It really does. And to say that, you know, it's not an everyday thing. And it's not something that comes easy. It's something that they work so hard at. Mm. And they're beautiful parents, beautiful marriage. And the hardest thing for me has been this week when Kara talks very openly about her future and where she sees Jason, where she sees me, you know, her hopes for her kids. That's hard for me to hear, but these are things she needs to say.
Are you referring to the fact that they've had a conversation about the possibility of remarriage?
Correct.
Yeah. You didn't talk about a tough discussion. You have really had that, Kara?
I have. You know, it started in a lighthearted way. I've been praying about for this woman if she comes. I've been praying for my kids and the difficulty that that might bring. And I started in a lighthearted way, joking. And one night Jason turned to me and said, "Why do you keep talking about this, Kara? Why do you keep talking about me getting possibly married again?" And halfway through this treatment, I realized how good my husband does marriage, how well he does it, and how big and gently he loves. And I realized it would be selfish of me to say never marry again. And so I asked him if he would mind if I talked about it. And so that in the place where he might one day consider remarriage, he would hear me saying, "Go for it."
And you really mean that?
I really do. In my heart of hearts, my husband is a discerning man. He loves Jesus. He will, through this hard season, make our children a priority. He will not sacrifice them to remarriage.
You also want a mother for your kids,
of course. And, you know, I know that my girlfriends will be that. They already are that. They are stepping up in love towards my children in ways that is amazing. So I know my kids will be very well mothered by my community, and maybe one day by another woman. And so does it intimidate me? Does it make me nervous? Certainly. But I pray for that woman. And I know my husband knows Jesus and lives near to him, that he will be discerning. So I do want to give him liberty. I want him where he will always hear my voice in his head to hear me say, I love you and I trust you.
How is that for you when you hear that, Jonna?
Well, Kara and I actually had this conversation last night, and I just asked her where she sees me fitting in, because, you know, I want to be very much part of the family if Kara is no longer here. And I have, Jason and I have a relationship where I plan on coming and staying with the kids so that he can have a break. That's where I see myself. And I see myself doing whatever my sister asks me, even though she's the youngest. She's very bossy. And she really does tell me what I need to do. And she's very direct. And we often say, I mean, she's taught me so much. I've always been the quiet one in the corner, and Kara's the one to trailblaze, and she doesn't know a stranger, and I'm not like that. And Kara has taught me to really open my heart through this whole thing, because I've needed so much support, because, you know, she's my best friend. But I always say to her, little sister, you've taught your big sister so much.
And how do you feel about the book that's been written?
I think it's beautiful. My sister is a very gifted writer. She's incredible. And I read it. We were kind of laughing about this earlier. I read it in one day, and I'm not a reader. So for me, that was a big accomplishment. But it was so beautifully written, and it was so hard. It was a hard book for me to read.
For our listeners who have been deeply involved in what you've had to say today, I would like to say that this is not a sorrowful book. This is not a book of anger. This is not a book of the dying process that'll wrench your heart out. This is a book of joy and depending on the Lord in the most difficult of circumstances. Does that characterize what you tried to do?
Well, that honors me. I thank you that that's what you've read, because that was my hope, that it would give those struggling hope of, you know, turning over the authorship of your story to Jesus, turning over the hard places for, you know, the heart of flesh instead of the heart of stone that's talked about in Ezekiel.
Right.
Let me tell you something you don't know.
What's that?
Your publisher has been teary-eyed for the last 45 minutes.
She's so tender-hearted. I love Ingrid. They came to me and they said, so who all is asking you to write books? I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? And oh my goodness, I just, the team has been just blessed me. And, you know, I got done. They asked me to do it in 4 months, and I turned to my publisher, editor, and I was like, is this normal, 4 months? Because this has been hard. And he goes, no, 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 it's not normal.
It's not normal.
Because they came to me right the day after I'd had brain radiation.
Really?
The day after we went to lunch together and talked about it. And so we knew the reality of my story, that my days are limited, and I very much wanted to write this and leave this legacy to my kids and to share my story.
But, you know, all our days are limited.
Yeah. But you don't get it. I mean, you know.
But exactly. And we should all be living like you.
Yeah.
You know, you've been given a warning.
Yeah. I've been given the long goodbye.
Yeah.
I've been given the long goodbye. Some people don't have that.
Yeah,
but I think the story of my heart encourages people to want to live well and intentionally.
Yes.
Intentionally, I guess.
Yeah.
That.
Well, I hope that last thing that I said there will give people an awareness to grab
moments.
What you've got now while you have it, the loving relationships. It doesn't matter about accomplishment and fame and fortune.
None of it matters.
And
money.
All of that doesn't matter. What matters is what you now know.
Yeah.
And most people, I don't think, have got a grasp of that. I hope your book will give it to them.
So many great lessons that mothers need to hear. And that's, I mean, God has given you wisdom that is much beyond your years. And I think,
it is amazing.
It is amazing. And I think we hear and sort of know what you're saying, and you're living it. And when you're sitting across from it alive and in your face, and you know it, because when you say, you know, the little things are the big things, it's so true, but we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But cancer forces you there, and what a blessing you get that some women will never get.
I feel like with a diagnosis, the small moments become the big moments. The getting to put my kids to bed, the bath times, I call doing laundry, laundry love. I get to love my kids by folding their shirts and smelling them and enjoying that they got really dirty one day and I get to wash those dirty clothes. I get to be the mom that packs their lunch. So these little moments.
What a testimony,
yeah,
I'm telling you.
You know, those little moments have become huge moments. I mean, yeah, though we've run away to Hawaii and done the big things you do when you know you're dying, I see my life lived in these small moments as being what will teach my children the essence of me that will remain with them forever. Because I've prayed these prayers for them into eternity, prayers for the little moments and the big moments of their life. And they will go on forever. They will go on and they will meet my children when I'm not there to meet them. And so in the little moments of life where I feel grumpy or, you know, I can pray, Lord, help my kids not to be grumpy people in the morning with their spouses. And that prayer gets to enter eternity.
How silly the things we fuss over.
I know.
Isn't it true? Right.
I know. But we still do it. My kids still fight. We still have struggles every day. But I get to live in the giant moments of being next to my family.
Mm-hmm. Imagine the moments that are going to occur as each of your children arrive in heaven.
I can't. You know, one night I was in bed with my son and talked to him about, you know, Jesus saying a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. I said, Lake, one day I'm going to go and be in heaven, but I'll see you tomorrow. And he just smiled so big. And I know he believes me. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in such a finite and the infinite is hard for us to imagine. With my sister, God was gracious to let me get to know Jesus first. And I got to then tell my sister and tell my brother, and they are both walking with Jesus. And it just is one of the greatest joys of my life that my siblings will be with me in heaven.
Well, and the wonderful thing is Jesus will probably let you greet her.
I know.
When you get there.
I know.
And you could tell her what she's missed out.
I have a hero grandma, Eleanor Lakes.
I'm glad you brought that up because she's in the book.
Oh, she's my hero. She always was. And she always loved Jesus so big, but she didn't tell me about Jesus. But the moment I came to Christ, I thought, that's what makes that grandma different. And I said to her, Grandma, does it mean anything to you that I'm getting baptized? And she just wept. And so I named my first daughter for her. And so my grandma is just, she prayed for my sister, my brother, and I, and for her own husband for years. Mm. And at 85, my grandpa came to Christ.
Oh.
And my grandma had just suffered a stroke, and I just went to her weeping, our prayers are answered, Grandma. Grandpa's going to be with us. So... Mm. You know, and there's still family that we know that don't know Jesus, and we pray for them, and God is sovereign.
And you don't know. You just don't know. Kara, you have beautifully written a manual of hope for all of us who will come very shortly behind. Who knows? I may go first. You know, you have a greater peek into the future probably than I do. And I'm so grateful for what you've done because you've walked into a space that people are so afraid to go into, and that is to talk about the veil, to talk about death, particularly mothers, you know. And even in churches, we don't hear pastors talk about death because the truth is you are walking through, in a different way, you're walking through the veil, and we're all going to walk through the veil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to be able to show people how to do that with God's help. And I believe that one of the greatest gifts a mom can give her kids is dying well and to teach them how to walk through the veil well, because nobody's doing that. And I thank you for that. But if you could tell your kids or those of us coming right behind to do one thing that has really sustained you, what would that be as we close our time together?
I think Psalm I believe it's 73, I might have to check this, says, "The nearness of God is my good." And I know that the nearness of God is my only good. Mm-hmm. And God is so near that he gave me his spirit within me. And that is the only good in me. And that I want my kids to know that it's going to be hard, but his nearness will be your good. And, you know, I thought my story of hard would end at me, that I would get to leave the legacy of an easier life for my children, being a first-generation Christian. But knowing that I will die young, I realized that hard is going to be the beautiful part of my children's story. And it's okay.
It is okay. Are you recording things for your children?
Good. You know what was really neat? I've taken each of my girls on their 10-year-old trips when they turned 10 to tell them what I expect of them as an adolescent. How, you know,
they'll wrote that book, too.
Yeah,
you
I know you did.
No,
I read
either,
I've read your Bringing Up Boys. And how I expect them to let us be the loud voices, not their friends, and how it's always going to be a temptation, and explain puberty and told them about sex. But with my 10-year-old, so we were in a hotel, and I got in the bed and opened it up, and I interviewed her about her wedding day. I was telling Jonna this yesterday. I said, "What do you want it to be like?" And so there I was, and I'm like, "Oh, that'll be great. Do it." And then so it was this joyful, like, "Oh, Harper, that's going to be a beautiful day." And so she will. It will be this joyful, not this.
Right.
I said, I don't want my kids to come to each graduation
and feel sad
and feel like, "Oh, here comes the sad video from Mom."
Right.
But I'm doing these interviews with them, like, "So, what do you think your graduation is going to be like?" And that day that they get to see this.
That helps them so much.
It'll be there for them. Those videos will be there for them. I've written letters. I've written letters in the books for them. You know, a lot of my writing on my blog is letters to my kids. But I'm going to video interviews with the kids that they will enjoy.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I need to get some in before I'm totally bald. That'd be fun.
Do you talk to them about the Lord?
All the time. And I talk to them about heaven and that, you know, how Jesus walks with us. And, you know, even last week, they were all struggling with unkindness. It's the end of summer. Everybody was grumpy. And I just sat there and cried and said, "Every morning I wake up and I feel unkind because I don't feel good." And I asked Jesus to meet me there and to help me extend kindness to you kids, to your father, to the people in our community. Could you guys do that for each other? Can you guys pray where you feel unkind that Jesus would help you?
Yeah.
Kara, thank you for your testimony.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
For your courage.
Thanks for having me.
For your faith.
For your faith. Jonna, thank you for coming to the microphone and sharing your thoughts.
Of course.
We haven't known each other very long, but I can't wait to tell Shirley about you.
Yeah.
You're going to lose that hair.
I am. There.
You okay with that?
Yeah. I've done it before. We've done this.
For a woman, that's one of the hardest things that can occur.
You know what's hard is everybody knows you're sick then. Right now, I got to tell you that I'm sick. I got to tell you I have cancer. When I'm bald, everybody knows. And so I'm somebody who goes in public at the grocery store and makes friends. I'd catch your eye and I'd make friends with you. People, when they see me bald, feel embarrassed looking at me, so they look away. So it creates a loneliness that I...
Mine is getting thin and nobody tells me anything encouraging.
That's different.
God be with you.
Thank you so much, Dr.
And especially as you begin your chemotherapy.
Thank you.
Well, what a touching program we've been enjoying today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and the program you just heard was the powerful conclusion to one of the best programs of 2014, titled The Hardest Piece. If you would like more information about Kara Tippett's or her book, The Hardest Piece, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Dr. Meg Meeker saying Merry Christmas, everyone, and thank you for listening. We'll see you again next time for another Christmas edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is James Dobson, and I have some great news to share with you today. Friends of Family Talk have stepped forward with a generous matching grant that doubles any gift that we receive from you this month. That means that your donation will reach twice as many families and have twice the impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now is a vital time for the ministry of Family Talk, as the money that we receive before the end of the year sets the stage for the ministry impact that we can have in the upcoming new year. So I hope you will make a contribution today. You can donate by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by calling us at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Merry Christmas, everyone, and as always, thank you for listening to Family Talk.